the Game Lounge.
Motherfucking Game Lounge.
Welcome to the Game Lounge.
Motherfucking Game Lounge.
Welcome to the Game Lounge.
Motherfucking Game Lounge.
Suck it.
Bitches.
Welcome, welcome. Come on into the Game Lounge. It's episode number 16, and I am the Fisherman.
And I'm still Farva.
And Farva, what are you drinking tonight, man?
Rum and Coke.
Really?
Real simple.
Really?
Really.
Again?
Again.
This shit?
But you gotta understand, like, I got my hands on Halo Reach last night at the midnight release.
Oh, okay.
I was up. My wife decided to watch a movie with me until we were watching, what's it called? White Collar, that USA show.
Okay.
Not too bad, actually. So we were watching that until about 1 in the morning, and then she went to sleep, and I played a little bit of Reach. And
wait,
then
hang on.
What?
You went to the midnight release of Halo.
I didn't say that. I said I got my hands on a copy. Big difference.
And then you came home and watched White Collar?
She was watching it, and I was not going to argue with her.
What?
She's violent, dude. Seriously. Violence.
Oh, wow.
She, like, all slaps right, me around and stuff. It's not good. Not good.
Okay. So
long
right.
story short, I had, like, a 6 a.m. meeting this morning, so I only slept a couple hours, and so then I wasn't feeling good. And so about 4 hours ago, I went to sleep, and I set my alarm to get up to record this with you. And so I'm like, screw it. I just go into the basics. I pulled out the basics, so rum and Coke.
Okay. Well, I guess that's some kind of story. I have something a little bit special, actually. This is a beer that I have because I watched a movie that the guys recommended on Netflix Instant Watch. I watched Beer Wars on Netflix Instant Watch, and there's a large portion of that movie where they talk to the owner of Dogfish Head Brewery.
Good beer.
And he spends a lot of time talking about his Punkin Ale. It's P-U-N-K-I-N.
Mm-hmm.
It's spelled incorrectly, but it is a pumpkin ale. And he talks about how he's worried because his pumpkin ale costs like $10 for a 4-pack. And he's worried because the bigger breweries have a 6-pack out there for $8 and that their beer is shitty. Like their pumpkin ale is shitty. It's not brewed with the quality and the care that the Dogfish Head Brewery beer is brewed with. And so if somebody tries that beer, they will get the wrong idea of what a pumpkin ale should really taste like. Uh-huh. And they'll never even try the Dogfish Head one.
Oh.
Sort of killing his sales by undercutting him with a shitty product that they could relate back to his product.
Oh, that's devious.
Yeah, and so I skipped all that shit and went right for the expensive one because I wanted to try it. I wanted to try it right from the source, and the pumpkin ale this is really good beer, Farva. I mean, I've never had a pumpkin beer before, but it's got this aftertaste. It's got an acidic, it hits your mouth and it's acidic, but it's got this aftertaste that has like, it tastes like cinnamon and nutmeg and sugar, and it's got this really sweet kickback once you're done taking your swig of the beer. And I'm really enjoying it, man. I'm on my third one of the night, so
wow,
things are gonna get a little bit saucy here if I run out of this one. But yeah, that's what I'm drinking. I'm drinking a Dogfish Head Pumpkin Ale, and that's something I picked up today. And I had some sushi too that wasn't so great. Anyways, so that's what we're drinking. We're gonna move it on into Digital Desk. This is Digital Desk, and this is our news segment on the Game Lounge. And the first section of news is something that we kind of missed when we were at PAX, man. This came out about a few days before PAX, and now is sort of starting to come to fruition. Borderlands is getting ready for a new DLC pack called Claptrap's New Robot Revolution.
Woo!
Yeah, and I don't know if you see anything about this. It looks really, really fucking crazy. Claptrap's going nutso and finally going against the man and having a heyday. But what's interesting about this one is that what's preceding it. It's a patch, and it's going to raise the level cap and add new weapons and add new areas to Borderlands proper, and baby, it's going to be free. I mean,
oh, really?
I don't know what Gearbox is doing over there, but I like it. They're bringing a lot of post-release content, and this is stuff you can tell is post-release. It's not on the disc. It's not like it came out like a week after it came out, like the Mafia 2 DLC.
Yeah.
It's post-release content, and now they're bringing a patch that raises the level cap and gives you new weapons and gives you new areas for free. So what could you say about Borderlands, except for it's this year's Burnout Paradise?
Yeah, we love free.
Right. Burnout Paradise did the same thing last year, where they came out with it. There was a bunch of post-release content, really good DLC packs, a lot of free content that came out for that. And I think Microsoft allows one free update, one free patch for people to release. So, Valve, I think, burned through all theirs with Left 4 Dead, and this will be Borderlands 1, and then Burnout did theirs. But, Farva, have you seen anything about Claptrap's new Robot Revolution or this patch coming out? What do you think? Are you going to be picking any? Obviously, you'll pick up the free patch.
I will.
But what do you think? You're going to be getting a new Robot Revolution?
No, I won't.
No?
And here's the reason why. Borderlands is a fun game. I enjoyed it thoroughly, but I started a new job pretty much like 3 weeks after it came out. Mm-hmm. It's really is a multiplayer experience, and I don't know, hardly anyone plays it now, and no one's at my level. So either when I jump in with people, they're either way below me or ridiculously above me.
Yeah, I'm with
and
you.
So it's just not fun. And I've gotten to the point now where when I'm playing, I still own it, and it's only because I haven't actually taken it to trade it in. I'm probably going to do that. It's just traded in.
Don't do that.
It's a fun game, but the problem I keep running into with it is it's a grind. There's no real story to it, so you're just grinding for the sake of grinding to get new gear, to get the next boss, to grind, to meet funny, weird characters, and the battles themselves can be fun, but I can only handle it for so long before I'm like, I'd rather play Fallout 3, some Fallout 3 DLC where I have a story, or I'd rather just play something else that has, that gives me a reason for doing what I'm doing, i.e. like Mass Effect or something like that. So I haven't put it in my Xbox for, I would say, probably 6 to 8 months.
I've got an idea for you. Don't trade it in. Let's do a Borderlands, because we're right about the same level, I think.
Yeah.
In Borderlands. We'll do a Borderlands marathon for Extra Life.
That sounds great, except I'll be in Extra Life about 2 days earlier than everyone else.
Oh.
Because so I work weekends.
A fucking Friday?
I'll be doing it on a Tuesday.
Well, log in when you get home and laugh at my attempts to not fall asleep while I'm playing Borderlands. At least for that.
I will do my best.
Hang on to it till then.
Okay.
Yeah, and then you can get the patch and get all that shit, too. Anyways, yeah, I'm with you, man. Everyone's either completely passed me by or is just now starting something new. I'm right in the middle, and I haven't finished the main campaign yet. And because of that, I haven't bought any DLC yet. Gearbox, they did a great job with post-release DLC for this, but the difference between this and Burnout Paradise, I think, is that Burnout Paradise's DLC is accessible to everybody, no matter what point you're at in the game. A lot of the Gearbox post-release DLC for Borderlands seems like it's end-of-game content. I'm not even there yet, man. You're cutting out a ton of your audience by putting it at the end of the game. I would say probably, what do you think, Farv? Maybe 20% of people make it through an entire game?
No, I'd say more than that.
You think
Because I know a lot of people, when it first came out. Now, again, most of the people I know are pretty serious gamers, but most people I know that played it actually beat it with one character and then turned around and went and played it with another because they wanted to.
But these are the people that you know?
Well, that's what I'm taking. I mean, I've got to take it as people I know. I mean, most people that I know, when you're given a game, a game that gives you the opportunity to change the gameplay you know, how the game turns out just via some of the decisions you make, a la Fallout, Mass Effect, something like that, Dragon Age, they'll go back and play it again just to see the different stories. This didn't have a story-driven plot to it so much, but the characters were all so different, and as you leveled them up, they acted so differently, and there was such a different way to play the game that I know a lot of people did that. And so that's why I would think, honestly, I would say most people that bought it, I'd say probably 80% of the people that bought it actually did beat it.
Oh, that's not even close, Farva. I mean,
that's
these are the people that you know. I mean, these are the gamers, the hardcore gamers that you know. Most of the gaming audience, I hate to break it to you, man, most of the gaming audience, people that buy video games, aren't hardcore gamers. They aren't the hardcore gaming audience that we know. It's an 80-20 thing all the way for those people, and I would say 80% of the hardcore gamers that you know that bought it may have beaten it, but I'd say 80% of the people that bought it that aren't hardcore gamers didn't beat it. And I think those two sides are a lot more equal than you think they are. People buy video games that aren't gaming fans because they hear about it, you know, on the website. There's commercials. There's things like that. The people that don't go to IGN.com or Kotaku or Destructoid every day have bought this game too. And those are the people that didn't beat it. And it seems weird that you would release paid content for people only exclusively for people that have beaten your game. And maybe that's not the way it is with Borderlands, but that's the kind of the way it feels. I feel like I want to beat it before I get into the DLC. I just don't know if that's ever going to happen.
Yeah,
you know. So, all right, that's our first story. The second story is more of a we'll be talking about this game a lot more later on in the show, but Halo Reach launched, and it was a crazy set of launch parties, midnight releases, and everything. Before it launched, the review stores started coming in, and I mean, I got news. They are off the charts stellar. It's really, really, really good, these reviews. And it sort of belies any concern that you might have had about the game being a rehash of ODST. It sounds like it definitely, definitely, definitely isn't. It sounds like this is a game that stands on its own, that the campaign is good. The matchmaking and multiplayer is good, as always with Halo. The matchmaking, the multiplayer is sort of the bread and butter with this one. And what's really improved here, they're saying, is the firefight and the forge mode in the firefight. The way you can mix those two. I heard examples like you can create a firefight match, a custom firefight match,
mm-hmm.
where you turn off reloads. Think about that for a second. With a gun like a Covenant gun, like the plasma rifle, where it's an automatic plasma rifle, and it never overheats, and you never need to reload it. And you're just a wrecking crew with two plasma rifles at all times. You're just a running turret. And it's these kind of variants that seem to mix up the gameplay enough to make it really, really good. And they've added a lot more vehicle combat in this game apparently than ODST had and than Halo 3 had. They have actually space flight fighter modes that I haven't gotten to yet, but I've heard are pretty good.
Yeah, I haven't gotten there either.
But these reviews are really, really good, man. I thought it wouldn't be this. I was going to get it on day one either way, but I didn't think the reviews were going to be coming in this high. It's got a 92 out of 100 on Metacritic, and take that for whatever you think Metacritic is worth,
mm-hmm.
but that's all things considered, that's a pretty damn high. I mean, it's number two in current Xbox 360 games. It's number two. It's behind Red Dead, and that's it.
Really?
Huh. Yeah.
I actually thought it would have passed Red Dead.
No, Red Dead scored incredibly on this, and too highly, I think. But it is number two in current Xbox 360 games on Metacritic.
Well, there you go.
So, you know, what do you think of the enormous reception and critical and commercial that Halo Reach's launch has gotten? It feels like Halo 3 all over again to me.
Yeah, I don't want to get into it too much, I think it's getting a lot of reviews. I think a lot of the reviews are, I don't want to say overhyped, but I think they're definitely being put up by Halo lovers. And like I said, I'll get into it a little more in the care package, what my personal view on the game is. But I don't think it's the next Halo killer, so to speak. You know, I don't think it's like it's the, oh my god, this is amazing, this is a must own, must buy. I think it is it's a solid game, but I still do have some issues with it.
Sure, and to bridge my thoughts that we're going to be getting into later. I spent about an hour with it, so I can't tell you one way or the other whether it's good or not. Really, I've enjoyed my time with it, but I can't really tell you. So that's it. I mean, just no one knows how to release a game like Bungie does.
No, that, and yeah, they. I mean, with the parties they throw, and I mean, you've got to admit all of their. I mean, as stupid as some of those commercials got after seeing them over and over again, you know, the whole Remember Reach thing.
Yeah,
it was, and I don't think they did this intentionally, but coming out so close to 9/11, the anniversary of 9/11, with the Remember Reach, it did tie in. I did start noticing that it started tying into me emotionally a little bit.
Interesting.
Especially when you see like the explosions in the background and this and that. Yeah. I'm just like, wow, that was, I mean, it's just like, I just kind of caught it out of the corner of my eye, and like subconsciously it just kind of clicked on me. I was like, whoa, oh my goodness, that's intense, you know, and I don't think that was intentional. If it was, that's some shady but fantastic marketing, as cold-blooded as that is to say. But
come on, that's just something I never drew that parallel, and
that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think they did it on purpose. If someone's like, hey, this is when we're putting it out, I know this is touchy, but, and then they put out the Remember, you know, like the, like we had the whole Never Forget thing.
Yeah.
Then that's like a wow. Then someone was really thinking in the marketing thing, and someone has no soul, but they've got a huge fucking paycheck.
I'm sure. As did probably everybody at Bungie. But anyways, that's the second story. And the last one we want to talk about is what's the deal with Firefall? Man, Farvid, did you see those things, the Firefall? Is this new game coming out? Banners and all kinds of lighted signs and shit at PAX. Did you see that stuff? It was kind of right in the middle of the expo floor.
I did, and I couldn't figure out what the hell it was for.
Did you ever go and check it out?
If this is the game I'm thinking of, was this like the Space Marine looking thing?
Yeah.
With the chick with like who only got like one pant leg?
Yeah.
And like a really, really hot ass with like one pant leg?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, it was a really cool like opening. Basically, what it is, you just show like it's three or four Space Marine looking people, and they're just all beasts, and essentially a bunch of they're in a cave, like someone sort of under this cave thing, and all these monsters start coming at them, bug, insect looking things, very much looking like Starship Troopers.
Right.
They get swarmed, and so they're shooting them. Two of the guys fall down, ends up being just two people left. This big monster dude and this really hot chick, and he fires like some rocket that, like, you know, it's like a mini nuke that just destroys everything, which made me say, why didn't you use that in the first place before all your buddies got killed? But whatever. He fires that. Then some giant creature comes out of like the fog, snatches him away. Then it's just her, and she's smoking hot, and then she's really, really hot. And then while she like takes her hotness and like goes into the cave after the monster, and that's the end of it. And so I stood there and watched that. I have no idea what it is. I don't know if it's a first-person, third-person shooter. I don't know if it's an RPG. I don't know nothing about it. I just know that she was really hot.
Okay. So, all right. So it looked like a pretty solid, like a regular video game-ass video game, right?
Yep.
From what you saw?
Yeah.
Check this shit out, man. It's free.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's an online third-person shooter. And it's a late 2011 PC title, and it will blend hundreds of player online co-op in an open sandbox with clan support, an optional cooperative campaign, and it's going to be fucking free, man. It's a free game that is supported by microtransactions in the same way that some microtransaction MMOs, I guess in the same way that Farmville works. Is a fair comparison to make with it, because you can play that for free, and almost everybody does.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as in almost everybody that plays Farmville plays it for free. There's hardly anybody that pays anything for Farmville. And even the creator of Firefall has said that he will never, ever, ever pay for content in his own game. Like, clearly, he never will pay for content in his own game because he's the fucking creator of it. But I think the gist of his statement was that he would not pay for content in a free game like this. And so it sounds like it's being tailored to the people that will just play it for free. And how could you pass up free, man? And what he's saying is that he looked back and saw a couple of years ago, he was thinking, what if one of these Gears of War games came out and it was free and it was supported by microtransactions? What if that happened? And now it's happened, and what he thinks is going to happen is that you're never going to look at paying full price for a video game the same way again once Firefall comes out. Because if you've seen videos, obviously you've seen a video of it, I've seen videos of it, if you've seen screenshots of it, read about the gameplay of it, it's a straight-up third-person shooter with Gears of War, Team Fortress, you know, Starship Troopers, all that stuff infused with it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be free. I mean, how could you not? How could you not give it a shot, at least?
Yeah, you know? Yeah, I'll try it. I'm not a big PC gamer, so that automatically is kind of like because I thought, I'm like, man, that looks like it could be like a really cool... I was actually hoping it would kind of be like a cleaned up version of, it's one of those games that was in development for forever. We were waiting for it. It was with Vikings and shit, like Space Vikings. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
It was like a whole, it came out and a whole bunch of people either loved it or hated it. God, we should
have Lost Vikings?
No. But it was like Space Vikings. They were like futuristic, but when they died, like this angel would come down from like Valhalla.
I know what you're talking about.
I was hoping
that game.
Be a cleaned up version of that where, you know, it's kind of a third person, but they're still like, you know, kind of backed out and spread out a little bit. And I thought it was like, man, that'd be like a cool version of that, you know? And oh, well.
Yeah.
What game was that?
Yeah, God damn it, I can't remember.
You know what's funny is someone, like one of like our 40 listeners is just like, bah!
Like
just screaming
at their radio. They're going to get an accident because they're screaming at the radio, and they're going to try and explain it to the cops and say that they were listening to a video game podcast, screaming a video game at it, and that's why they killed that old grandma. But I don't think that's going to hold up in court.
No, probably not.
But at least Favre will feel bad about it. Anyways, Firefall is coming out in late 2011. It's going to be free, and I think this is a trend. I think this is going to be starting a trend of these types of games coming out for free and then relying on microtransactions. This shit has worked like gangbusters in Japan, and you know if a video game concept works in Japan, they'll at least give it a fair shake out here.
Yeah.
And I see this, and I think this, honestly, Farva, this will be what spurs a game like World of Warcraft to go free.
Hmm.
And that will be a day that I will try World of Warcraft again. Not until then, though. God damn it.
I don't think they will. Because they've already got their base built in, and they've got their people paying for it. And people will be like, well, this is free, and they'll go over here. But they're not like a level like 82 orc, wizard, master, you know, pedophile, whatever. You know, they don't have that character in this new free game.
What about when WoW 2 comes out?
You know? Ooh.
You know?
I still don't see it.
Yeah.
I still think, well, I mean, people, when people love something, they get caught up in something, they tend to stay there. You know,
people still playing EverQuest.
Yeah,
EverQuest 1, for Christ's sakes. Anyway, so that's what's going on with Firefall. Keep your eyes open for this one. Take a look at some of the video and the screenshots. It's crazy that it's coming out in late 2011, because if you look at the screenshots, it was playable at PAX. It looks like it's ready to go, but maybe they're just targeting late 2011, gonna release it before then. I mean, I guess look out for a beta, but what the fuck ever. Just play it when it comes out. It's gonna be free either way.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's gonna do it for Digital Desk. We're gonna go on to Game Bang. And this is the Game Bang, and we got a special guest for the Game Bang. We've got Deadpool Sky. How's it going, Deadpool?
It's going great, guys. What's up?
Not much. Just hanging out, recording a podcast, and drinking, man. No, you know, nothing better than that.
It's kind of what we do.
So I'm going to lead off the Game Bang. And what I've been Game Banging is NHL 11. And this is one that I talked about in the care package last week, and I have been pouring hours into this one, guys. It is crazy. And I'm ready to make the declaration that this is the best game in the best sports franchise currently on the market. And the reason I say this is because I read an article on Kotaku about how NHL 11 is harder than its hardcore fans. And what they meant by that was the guy that wrote the article brought his buddy over who is a hardcore NHL, like the actual sport fan.
And you still have those?
Yeah, I know. There's like five or six of us. So, and he couldn't wrap his head around the game. And he said that with his knowledge of the game, of the video game, and his buddy's knowledge of the game of hockey, they could have made the ultimate NHL player. they could have made the ultimate NHL. Like, if they combined their talents somehow, they could become the ultimate NHL 11 player. But I didn't agree with the article because it made it sound like you have to be super technically proficient at this game to play it. And the reason why I think it's the best sports game, why I think it's the best sports game on the market right now, is that it's exactly not that. It can be as easy or as complicated as you want it to be. Basically, left stick controls your skates, right stick controls your hockey stick. You flick it up, you shoot, you pull back and you flick it up. It's a slap shot. And right trigger passes. I mean, that's as simple as it gets on that game. And then you can body check with the right stick when you don't have the puck. It's really not that complicated. But when you get deeper into it, when you get into the strategy of the game, you can make it super complicated. And actually, the difficulty scales very, very well. Rookie mode, you only need to know those things to play. Pro mode, you need to know those things and some hockey strategy. And then all pro mode and superstar mode, you need to understand the game of hockey and understand everything about the controls to play it too. It gives you a ceiling to play at, and I have been stuck on this EA Ultimate Hockey League. Mm-hmm. And it's this RPG kind of mode. It's kind of an RPG hockey where you're building a team with points that you get throughout winning and playing. Online, offline tournaments, you play with your team, and you have to keep up your contracts with your players. They will run out. Every time you play a game, it takes one game away, and you have to play cards on them to assign them new contracts. And then there's junior league games and tournaments you can get into with only a junior league team, and so you have to reposition your roster to make that work. And just everything about this game is really drawing me in, and you know, we're going to talk about Halo Reach. We're going to talk about how we're playing Halo Reach here in a minute because it just came out. But I tell you, after I'm done recording this podcast, I'm going to go back and play some NHL. And that's the bottom line. And that's crazy on Halo Reach Day for me.
Let me just ask real quick. I have never enjoyed an NHL game or a hockey game before. Like, would this be the one to start off with if I wanted to, you know, start getting into it?
NHL 09 was really where the whole thing turned around. They've been using and repurposing everything ever since NHL 09, but this would be the one to start from. Like, how long has it been since you played a hockey game?
Jeez, it's been years.
Blades of Steel.
Yeah, oh, that was me. Before NHL 09, it was Blades of Steel. Like, seriously, that was it.
I don't think I played a hockey game since I was 11.
I know, like on the Genesis or something, and that's the last time hockey games were good before NHL 09 came along. NHL 09 revolutionized the game. That was the first one that I picked up, and I haven't picked up one since then. But this one does just enough to in 2 years. Last year's wasn't enough to warrant a purchase of a second game in a year. But this year's game does just enough between those 2 year spans to warrant a repurchase for me. And I'm hooked, man. I'm totally hooked on this game. But yeah, so that's what I've been game banging the hell out of, man. So Farva, what have you been getting into?
Recently, a lot of Modern Warfare and the multiplayer, just with our gamer nights, and after our bad movie Drinky Drinkies, it just seems to be kind of the go-to game. So I've been hitting that pretty hard. I've really been trying. It's actually been pissing me off. I was doing a Dead Space, or not Dead Space, a Dead Rising Case Zero.
Uh-huh.
And I'm trying to build the bike and trying to rescue. I'm trying to get everything done at once. Mm-hmm. And I spent about 2 hours, or it might be an hour and a half, running around, squaring everything away, like trying to be as efficient as possible, not uh-huh. realizing that I was downloading in the background the latest DLC from Mass Effect 2.
Okay.
And so what happened is when that finished, it cut my game off and put me back to the main screenshot.
Oh, I've heard about this.
And everything I had done up to then, I lost. And I was like... I mean, I hadn't saved like once because I was just being efficient, just running in, running out, running in, running out. I'm like, I'm not turning it off. I'm gonna do this. I was so mad. So
welcome to Dead Rising, Farba. Welcome to Dead Rising.
For a game like Dead Rising, that's really, really, really fucking brutal.
Welcome to Dead Rising. That's exactly how it is. They have these quirky save systems that do not exist, and they have these quirks that were all fucked up in the first one. That carry through to the DLC that I guarantee will carry through to the second one.
Yeah, it's the first time I've ever experienced that. And this is the first time in a long time that I've been holding my controller and just been like so tempted just to throw it on the ground and be like, fuck! Ah! You know,
I think Japan is just obsessed with making American gamers as pissed off as they possibly can get.
It's just crazy. I mean, give them coronary.
I would agree with that.
I damn near lost my mind. I was so pissed off. So, and then the other thing, I wanted to talk about is actually the Shadow, was it Shadow Broker DLC?
Yeah.
I played and beat that for Mass Effect 2. Of course, I was going to get it. And
how was that?
It was not bad.
Okay.
It kind of has two, I would consider, boss fights in it, and I found the first one to actually be the more difficult. Of the two, but
okay.
it doesn't have it has a small little vehicle section in it, but it's not like the other DLC, the Rogue VI one, where you're uh-huh. just running around forever and just I hated that. That was just pissing me off. This one was a short little section where you're kind of it's a chase scene through. Imagine like what was it, Episode 2. Of the Star Wars prequels, when they're chasing that bounty hunter through the through the sky cars and stuff like that, it's basically that, which was interesting. It was like that's
kind of cool for a game.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. It was cool enough, but it's a pretty good DLC. And one of the most interesting parts afterwards is depending on the decisions you make at the end, you actually befriend the Shadow Broker, and you're able to go to the Shadow Broker's like fortress. And in there, there's like different computer modules and stuff. So like one computer module I went to, and it's like, here, investment opportunities. And it gives you like a list of like, these are all a whole bunch of stuff that's going on, and you can finance those things. And then you come back and like a week later, and it'll like, your investments will like pay out for you. Or it's got like dossiers and portfolios and like all of your characters, which some of those are really fun and funny to read. Like Legion. Who's your Geth uh-huh. sniper? His portfolio is awesome. Like he's huge into like online role playing games, like futuristic World of Warcraft games. And he shows like a whole bunch of like things where he was like banned for a week because they thought he was like he was modding, like had a computer mod doing it for him. And then he's like, and then it says it goes back and it's like put under review. And then they took it off because he talked his way out of it. But he's got like a whole bunch of those where he's just like destroying people. And then it's got one at the end. It's like a love game where it's like kind of like The Sims, you know. Uh-huh. And he's invested like 40 hours into it, and he's got like a score of like 2.5. Well, all these other games he invests like 5 hours into it, he's got a score of like 70 billion. It's hilarious, like watching him try. It really is pretty funny.
So with that, does it reciprocate if you go the other way? Do you still get something like that, or is it just if you sort of side with a Shadow Broker, you get access to these things, and there's nothing like that if you don't? Because games will turn it back around on you.
Yeah, I can't say that you don't side with the Shadow Broker. You kind of befriend the Shadow Broker.
Okay. Well, whatever.
I don't know yet because I always try to be the bad guy, and then I turn around like a big pussy and just do everything like I would if my daughter was watching. So,
right. So let's roll it back to Dead Rising Case Zero real quick here. Hey, Deadpool, did you pick that up?
I don't have an Xbox. I played it at a friend's house. Yeah.
Okay, so here's my question, and this kind of brings up a bigger point for me. Is I played Dead Rising Case Zero, mm-hmm. and I was of the opinion that I was going to be gung-ho getting Dead Rising 2 on day one.
Mm-hmm.
I liked Dead Rising Case Zero. I had a good time with it, and I still have a good time with it. I still jump in there and play it every now and then. Now I feel like I got my fill. And I think they might have done a lot more damage than they were really hoping to with this thing, because now I'm not going to get it on day one. I'm going to wait for getting to the bargain bin and pick it up then. I feel like my taste in games has sort of changed since Dead Rising 1, and now the idea of running around and causing mayhem and hitting zombies with baseball bats seems like about a $5 idea to me.
Yeah,
because like, and not a $60 idea.
Yeah, because I played Dead Rising 1, and that made me so incredibly angry to the point where I wasn't really looking forward to the sequel. And I thought, I'll play Case Zero, I'll check it out, and then I'll maybe borrow an Xbox and rent Dead Rising 2 if I like it enough. And it's just playing Case Zero just reminded me about how just convoluted and crazy Dead Rising 1 was, and I'm just not looking forward to it.
Yeah, I completely agree. And what the thing is was that I had sort of forgotten about all that stuff with Dead Rising 1. I remember enjoying the experience. I remember all the different things you could do, all the different weapons you could get, how open the environment was and all that stuff. And I had forgotten about the shitty save system. I had forgotten about the mandatory time limit to make you crazy and have to do everything in a certain amount of time. I'd forgotten about all that stuff and the floating controls. I'd forgotten about all that stuff. And I had my nostalgia glasses on, and I was really looking forward to Dead Rising 2. And then I played Dead Rising Case Zero, and it was all, this is what Dead Rising actually is. And it's not horrible. I still had a good time with it, but it's certainly not a day one purchase, not with all the shit that I have backed up right now. So mission failed, Capcom, I guess. Farva, you came from a different place on this one, right? I mean, you weren't going to pick up Dead Rising 2. Had you ever even played Dead Rising 1?
Yeah, I did. I didn't play much of it. I played enough to know that I didn't like it. And maybe it was just because I didn't get any good weapons, but it seemed like I'd pick up a trash can and be beating zombies, and I'd hit them 40 times and they wouldn't fall over, and I was just getting pissed off, and I just wasn't good at the I just did not enjoy the game all in all, and I found it to be just not fun, and everyone was like it's so great, and I'm like okay, I can see how it's entertaining to beat up a zombie for a while, but that gets old, and
yeah,
so finally I had no intentions of picking 2 up at all. I'm like, it's more of the same. Yeah, they added some stuff, but it's still going to be more of the same. And after getting Case Zero, I am now interested in renting/buying this game.
Really? So you've come at a totally different angle in it then.
I have.
You came from the other camp. Oh, wow,
I have.
Wow, that's interesting.
I mean, because I like the ability, what I've liked about this DLC so far is that I've been replaying it over and over again, because the first time I did, I was just trying to save my daughter. Now that I kind of know, okay, this is where this gear is, and this is where this is, and this is where that is, now it's like, okay, I'm working, trying to get everything together, and trying to find, I'm still having a hard time finding all of the people that you need to rescue, and it's a tiny little map, so it's not huge, but I'm just having a hard time locating them.
It's just a small town, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm having a hard time locating them, and so that's now it's okay, I've got a time limit, so now I spent one time trying to save my daughter, then one just trying to find all the people. Now I'm trying to put it all together and seeing if I could do it. And it's given me a fair amount of playback and playthrough, and I'm enjoying it.
Hey, so you capped your level yet?
I have not. I'm only level 2, believe it or not.
Oh, wow.
Because I don't. I run by a lot of zombies on my way to try and get to where I'm going. So
you don't. So you don't feel like Case Zero just gave you the experience for Dead Rising 2?
I think it gave me a taste. I think opening it up to Vegas with more personalities and more, just more characters. And because that was one thing about Dead Rising 1, it did have a lot of characters in it, and they each had their own distinct personalities and their distinct points of view. That I think, increasing that in, taking that and running with it in Dead Rising 2. Plus, the ability to get this motorcycle that you fixed and put chainsaws on it. I'm now discovering, man, it is fun to kind of go through and massacre a bunch of zombies. And the ability to, like, merge weapons together and create new stuff. I have to figure Vegas is full. You know, like, I'm hoping somewhere I can find somewhere like a Caesar's Palace where I can find, like, a sword or a spear and, you know, that kind of stuff and just go nuts on these zombies.
Yeah. I think the humor will be there, and I think the charm will be – there'll be more humor and charm in the full game than there was in this one, because this one's just kind of gritty and not real funny. But I feel like I got the experience. I got the experience that I was looking for from Dead Rising 2 out of Case Zero, and it was $5, and I'm pretty happy with that purchase, I guess.
I mean, here's what I guarantee what will happen with me. Like, I'll rent it, and I'll play it for about, like – 6 hours, then I'll take it back, because that's all I really need.
Mm-hmm. And it's tough to call that a $60 purchase. You know, it's tough to call that worth $60 for a full game price. You know, I'm thinking when it gets to the $20-$30 range, that's when I'll start looking at it again. But I'm telling you, day one they lost me on it. I would have gotten it. I would have pre-ordered this shit and gotten it on day one without Case Zero. I mean. And it is not that Case Zero was bad. It's that Case Zero was the experience I was looking for out of Dead Rising 2. So that's kind of how I feel about Dead Rising Case Zero. But Deadpool, you've been playing something that we haven't been talking about lately, and you've been trying to pull something off that Farman and I couldn't imagine trying to pull off. So what's that?
Fallout 3. It was my game of the decade. For the last 10 years,
right,
that just ended, and I am in absolute love with this game, and I'm preparing for a Fallout New Vegas by trying to 100% Fallout 3.
Oh,
yeah,
that's insane.
Here's the thing though, I have every single one of the trophies for that game except for a couple of the leveling trophies for the evil character and the neutral character.
Okay.
So I am incredibly close to getting a platinum trophy, and then even closer to getting 100%, or vice versa.
Yeah. So I don't really know what's the difference between it. Does the game measure your percent like in Grand Theft Auto?
It's the PlayStation how they do trophies, because instead of getting gamer score, you get trophies, and the sure. number of trophies are divided up like percentages and. You get.
Oh, okay, yeah. I'm with you.
So, like, if you beat the default, get all the default trophies for the game, like shipped with the game, you get a platinum trophy, and then all the DLC will help you get 100%. And I'm incredibly close to doing both of those.
Wow. So what was the hardest trophy? What was the biggest grind to get?
Oh, there was this one trophy called the Nuka-Cola Challenge or something like that.
And, okay. Oh yeah, I know what you're talking about.
And for those who don't know what you're talking, what I'm talking about, what you had to do is you had to bring this one chick like a bunch of Nuka-Cola Quantums, but those things are few and far between, and they're scattered all over this ginormous world that you have to look for them in, and it's just insane. And it was probably I was pretty close to giving up, but I didn't, and I persevered and I did it.
Did you use a FAQ? Be honest. Did you go online and use a FAQ?
I did. I was pulling what little hair I had out over the last two that I needed, and I was like, you know what, fuck it, and I just went for the FAQ on the last two.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing about those Nuka-Colas is that you can accidentally consume one, too.
I know.
They're consumables.
Yeah, it is, and it's just crazy, and there's nowhere to store them. So you have to keep them on your person, and they weigh you down, and it's just not good.
You know what's funny is when I was playing Fallout 3, I always put shit in my fridge in Megaton. Like, my fridge was just a fucking, like, arsenal of old weapons and stockpile and shit, because there was, like, a thousand... There was, like, all these different places you could put stuff. There's probably about 20 different lockers and things in a row in your house in Megaton. And I was like, man, I'm never going to remember which locker I used to put this. If I put everything in the fridge, I'll know where it is. So that was my theory.
I did the same thing. I had like one chest. I threw everything in that chest. But in fact, well, here's a thing for you on that challenge. If you go to your house and you buy the, you know how you can like set up buy like furniture and stuff for your house. I think there's something you can buy, like a Nuka-Cola machine or something like that, where you can take like four or five regular Nuka-Colas and stick it in that machine, and it'll produce a Nuka-Cola Quantum for you.
It's only if you have broken steel and you have the Quantum Chemist perk, I think.
Oh.
Wow.
You can't. Yeah, you
specific.
Can't do that. Yeah, you can't do that normally.
Oh. Wow. Yeah, that's crazy. So you're looking forward to New Vegas then?
Oh, absolutely. Day one purchase.
Yeah. Did you hear our impressions on that thing on the Game Lounge last week? I guess it was.
I did not actually, because I've been incredibly backed up on my podcast. I'm just now catching up.
Yeah, that's cool. So I mean, I played it. Farm, did you play New Vegas at all when you were at PAX?
No, I did not.
Yeah, so I guess I'm the only one that played it. But so I played it on the Xbox at their Fallout New Vegas stand, and it sucked. I mean, I'm a huge fan of Fallout 3.
You shut your mouth.
And
you shut
was,
your mouth right now.
Deadpool, it was not good, man. It was not good. I was in the middle of the wasteland, the middle of the night. I had a fucking machine gun grenade launcher, all right? And I was firing grenades out at rapid fire like a Gatling gun at nothing, at rocks and bushes and cactuses and shit like that, and some abandoned building that had nothing in it either. And I was really, really bummed out because this was something that I was really looking forward to at PAX. And it just wasn't very good. But I came back the next day. I went to the NVIDIA booth where they NVIDIA that makes graphics cards, and they happened to be showing New Vegas on the PC in some corner booth that nobody was at. I mean, I had to wait probably 20 minutes to play it over at the New Vegas booth official. But I played it, and it was a lot better. They had set it up. You were on a mission, and you were executing a mission in this demo. I don't know why they didn't have this demo set up over at the New Vegas booth. But there was action, there was shit going on, you were making decisions, you were talking to people. It was everything you liked about Fallout 3, except for more.
The thing about that, though, see, the one you played on Xbox didn't have that stuff, so it's really unfair to say it wasn't. It wasn't good. Like, I have no doubt it's going to be a good game. It's just they didn't show the best portion of the game they possibly could, and that sucks.
I agree, and I think what happened over on the Xbox at the New Vegas booth, I mean, this was their official booth, was that something happened where my demo station got off the beaten path, maybe, and there wasn't anything where I was at, but all the action was near the center of the map where I wasn't. Or maybe the day and night cycles fucked it all up because I was at night and there was really nothing going on out there. When I got over to the NVIDIA booth and I was playing through a mission, it was a lot better. And I noticed there's iron sights now on the guns, and they have a lot better just regular shooting. VATS is the same as it always been, but when you're not in VATS, when you're on the turn-based stop motion RPG style attack mode, it's a lot more clean shooting, and it feels like a lot more like a regular shooter. And I liked it a lot more. And you know, you were talking to people and getting your shit done. It was Fallout. The first time I played it just wasn't falling. I was really bummed, but my spirits got lifted by that second time I got my hands on it, and it was it was a lot better. So keep your hopes up for it.
Yeah, I think it's unfortunate that they showed that part of the game for the 360, just the sort of mundane stuff, but that stuff is going to be few and far between in the real game, I guarantee it. Like
again, I think that demo station wasn't resetting, and I think it was just sitting there. And so wherever the last person left off, you pick up the controller, and there you are.
Yeah.
And so I think over the course of the day, people had wandered off into the fucking middle of nowhere, and they hadn't worked on that area or something for the demo. And so there was nothing out there. Anyways, Fallout New Vegas looks like more Fallout. So, you know, nothing to worry about there, I don't think. You know, I was a little worried about it the first time I got my hands on it, but it's good. It's good now.
Are you planning on getting the collector's edition?
No.
Man, that looks so sweet.
I know, it looks really, really cool, and I would, but I basically already have all that shit just without the New Vegas branding on it. Mm-hmm. I cannot justify myself getting all that. This is the one with the poker chips and the,
yeah, and that giant silver sweet looking poker chip and the cards and all that stuff. That looks sweet, dude.
Dead Rising is doing the same thing too. They have poker chips and Bloodstained dealer button and Bloodstained deck of cards. And yeah, like Farbo was just saying, you enter, you get one free entry to win. What is it, Farva?
One free zombie.
Yeah, it's a gigantic 6-foot zombie.
Wow.
Yeah.
For the collector's edition for Neve, I can't guarantee I'll get it. I probably won't in the long run, but it just looks really sweet, and I want to get it, is the thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, there you go. Anyways, that's going to do it for Game Bang. Thank you, Deadspool, for joining us for this. Thanks for bringing your thoughts on Fallout 3, man. Good luck to you, bro. That's going to be a haul. Let us know when you've got that.
I will.
That'll be hopefully fucking party time over on the ship.
Yeah, hopefully before October, whenever.
Yeah, keep grinding at it, man. You'll get there before New Vegas releases.
I hope so.
All right. So that's gonna do it for the Game Bang, and we're gonna go on into care package. All right, this is care package, and Farva, what else could it be this week? I mean,
it's got to be.
I wrote on the show notes Halo Reach for myself, and then I didn't know what you were gonna put in there, so I put in Farva, Halo Reach, or whatever. Dumbass developer decides to release a game on the same week of Halo Reach, because regardless of the quality of the game, you would be an absolute fool to release a game this week at the same week of Halo Reach. Delay it by a week, for God's sakes. Even if it's ready to go and you had this week scheduled before Halo Reach did, come up with something. Delay it a week, 2 weeks, something. You're not going to have a chance against these guys.
You're stupid otherwise. It's Halo, for crying out loud.
Yeah. So that's our care package. Clearly, that's our care package. I've only got about an hour in with it in the campaign and in the multiplayer, and I haven't had a whole lot of time to judge the quality of the game. I've enjoyed it. It is certainly more Halo. Certainly more Halo. Mm-hmm. For some reason, it feels a little more floaty to me, and maybe a little bit slower to me than the other ones.
Yeah.
Maybe that's because I've been playing Call of Duty and Battlefield and games that have higher stick sensitivity to get technical with it. It feels like my movement of my right stick doesn't mean as much in this game as it does in the other ones. But maybe that's just because I haven't played a Halo game in so long and I've gotten so used to the other one's responsiveness. I'm having a good time with it. But I can see how, it could go awry or get a little old for me. I had a good time in matchmaking. Have you played any multiplayer matchmaking yet?
I did. One game of like a Team Slayer, and then one of just, I guess it was like a free roam. It's me against everybody else.
Have you tried the armor abilities yet? All the armor abilities?
I have. Meh.
Really? Meh.
Fun.
Because
they mix it up, but it's like, well, I'm not like, wow, it's the most amazing thing ever.
Wow. See, I had a totally different reaction to just one of them. Hologram. Hologram, when you hit it, sends a decoy of yourself running out in front. And it's just a hologram. It's not really you. And so it just acts as a target for other people to hone in on.
Mm-hmm.
And I use that to great effect in the multiplayer games that I played in. And it seems ridiculously overpowered, like crazy overpowered. Like every time I used it in front of somebody, they went right after my dumbass hologram. And I had at least a few seconds of free shots on them. And in Halo, that makes all the difference.
Oh, yeah.
It was easy pickings once I sent that thing out there, and I had a lot more success with that than I did with any other armor ability. But I guess all in all, I'm having a pretty good time with Halo Reach. I'm gonna get back into it in a little bit here, and hopefully we'll have more to talk about on the next game lounge. I know, Farva, you're going to be actually writing the review for this thing. So what's your early take on it?
It's more Halos.
Yep.
It really is. If you liked Halo, it's more towards Halo 3 than it is Halo ODST. ODST was a lot of city, a lot of You know, cold, hard surfaces, structures, things like that. This is much more out in the wilderness. A lot. So far, I've been through the first two levels. I'm halfway through my third. I played about 3 hours of it, and then about a half an hour into the multiplayer. The game itself, it's not overwhelmingly amazing. The story is not. It's you're a bunch of Spartans. You're going through. You go from point A to point B. Kill a bunch of bad guys. You know, turn something on. Point A to point B. Kill a bunch of Covenant. Turn something on. Point A, point B. And it keeps going like that. And then, like the original Halo, it had that. It would do that for a while. And then, like within the first, I think like first or second level, you were introduced to the Flood. And that was like a big twist. And like, oh shit, you know. And then after the Flood, you met that little what was it called? That little blue
Guilty Spark, 343 Guilty Spark.
There you go. And he showed up out of nowhere, and it's like everything, something would happen. It's like, man, what's going on? I'm confused. You know, I want to know. That Halo, the original Halo, was the perfect game in my opinion. Of its time, I mean, the multiplayer was fantastic, unlike anything else. Yes, the pistol was overpowered, but other than that, I mean, it really was a lot of fun. The campaign was a first-person shooter that had a real story that was engaging. When the captain got, you know, first absorbed by the Flood and you had to kill him in the first one, I mean, that was like, oh, man, right. That sucks. When you finally get to him and you realize he's this big, he's been absorbed into this hive mind. It was like, oh my god, I can't believe it was a truly like a testing moment. Mm-hmm. And so now that I'm playing this one, I'm going through and I'm doing a lot of levels that are like, you know, I swear to god, I've played this level before.
Right.
I played this in 2 or 3. You know, I'm walking through canyons in the mountains and I'm, you know, picking these guys off. Feels real familiar. Or I'm driving I'm driving this mini warthog thing, and oh, I'm going around down, you know, I'm going down a mountain, down by the beach, back up into the mountains. Sound looks real familiar.
Or I've got like there's fucking a green level from Halo 1.
Yeah, or there's like a sniper level that I think came from 2 or 3, where it's like dark outside, and you sneak around, you start sniping, and then it's like they have all these like embankments on these like rolling little mini hills that are all kind of weaving. It's like they got like passageways underneath them and stuff like that, and it's. I mean, if you get there, you know what I'm talking about. It's like, I've seen all of this before. And the story is not engaging. It's just more Halo.
Okay.
I mean, I really think the thing that's going to sell this is the multiplayer. The new powers are like, wow. It does change the gameplay somewhat. I mean, I don't know how many times like someone would like throw a grenade at me from above because he was I didn't see him and he was using the jetpack and I'd get pissed off. But I'm not the biggest fan of the Halo's multiplayer. Because, you know, it takes so much damage to put somebody down, and with the jumping and this and that, it's like, I just don't enjoy that. I like the running gun of Call of Duty. You know, you play hardcore. If they would put, like, a hardcore version in Halo, where, you know, 2 or 3 legitimate shots put somebody down, or at least takes their shields down, that would be interesting. But I don't know how many times, like, I've run up shooting someone from behind, they don't see me, they turn around, they start jumping around, I'm an idiot. Like I'm just not good at this style of gameplay, so I can't jump around as much as they do, and I end up getting killed, and I'm like, that's bullshit, you know. So I'm just, and I did not play the Forge, I did not play the Firefight in this yet, and so I'll be holding on to it for that. But so far, if you like Halo, you'll love this. If Halo is, if Call of Duty is your game, rent this. Because I guarantee you, like me, I've bought and beaten every Halo game to date, except for ODST, and I just didn't buy it. But I played, rented it, and beat it. This one, I actually went and called my family video store, which is right up the block, at Matlock and Turner Warnell, if anyone happens to live in the Mansfield area. But I got there at like 11, I called him up. And he was like, yeah, go ahead. So I showed up at 11:50, and I waited there for 10 minutes. And as soon as midnight hit, when he's supposed to close the store, he scanned it through and did it, and here you go. There you go. Rented it to me.
Nice.
Like, thank you, dude. I'm like, that's awesome. I really appreciate it. He's like, yeah, no problem. Anytime you need to do this. So I think every Monday night, come Tuesday at midnight, that's what I'll be doing to make sure I get the game I want.
Badass. That's a great hookup, man.
It was really nice. So anyway, so that's how I got it at midnight. So I put significant time into it, and in the end I just decided I'm going to finish beating it, but it's more like I'm going to do it just because I'm doing it. Like there's a female AI that talks to you during cutscenes and stuff like that, and I'm wondering if that's the Cortana early version of Cortana, maybe. You know, there's some little things I'm like, huh, I wonder what's going to play into the future. But I'm not like, oh my god, this is the most amazing game ever. I think it's just another Halo game. I mean, the Spartans that you're running with might as well be the elites that you ran with in the Arbiter from 2.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of the point, really. Especially with the matchmaking campaign modes in this one, your co-op partners could be anybody, you know, and literally they could be anybody. They could be anybody from your online circle, from outside your online circle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've been hearing the same things, and I've been seeing the same things too. If you like Halo, you like this game. Straight. If you don't like Halo, you probably won't like this game. So that's pretty much it.
I've not hit the space flying level.
Okay.
Yeah, and I've heard that's a lot of fun. I've heard that's really intriguing. I've not hit that yet. And
how deep are you into it, Farva?
Halfway through the third mission.
Yeah. And how many hours is that?
I think I put about 2 into it, 2.5.
Okay. Okay.
Now I've heard a lot of people are beating it on Legendary at like 5 hours. And I'm playing. I just played on normal because I just want to play the game.
I'm hearing it's clocking at about 8.5 for campaign mode. That's kind of what I'm hearing. I'm sure somebody's being on legendary in 5 hours, but that's probably because they're ridiculous and they don't really look at what's going on or pay attention to what's going on in the story and all that stuff. Skipping through cutscenes and all that shit. But, it already seems like a better value than ODST ever was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've got the firefight, you've got its own multiplayer mode, you've got revamped multiplayer with armor abilities, and you've got firefight with variants, with the Forge variants, and you've got matchmaking and firefight. I think the difference here is it's not a better game than Halo 1. Conceivably, it's not a better game than Halo 1. I haven't gotten through it, so I can't really make that determination in terms of story and in terms of revolutionizing the genre.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like what they're selling it on here and what their big point here may be that it's the total package. This is the game to get if you have no other games, if you're not going to buy another game this year. This has everything you would want out of a game in one way or another. Anyways, so that's what we've been playing. It's a care package, but it's more of a sort of a game bank slash care package, and that's going to do it for the care package. We're going to go on the Horizon. All right, this is On the Horizon, and man, we've neglected it. This is kind of embarrassing.
It's embarrassing for you, definitely.
It's fucking the 15th of September, for Christ's sakes, and we're just now doing On the Horizon. We're halfway through the damn month. This isn't how it's supposed to work. We're supposed to do this the first show of the month.
Well, that's what happens when you have PAX, baby.
The first show of the month, you were at my house.
You're right. I blame you.
Yeah, we couldn't do it then. You were here, and we just neglected it last week. But god damn it, we're going to do an On the Horizon. We're going to do it for the rest of the September. Here's the list of games that are coming out for the rest of September. I'm just going to run them down. There's a Lord of the Rings game called Aragorn's Quest that was seen at PAX. We didn't touch it because it looked like a total piece of dog shit. There's a new Sonic game, Sonic Adventure, coming out for the 360. The PlayStation Move comes out this month. A game that I know a few people that are very excited about. Civilization 5 comes out this month. That comes out next week.
Yeah.
Deathspank: Thongs of Virtue almost unbelievably comes out this month. I'll believe that when I see it hit the downloads, because that's ridiculous. Also, Final Fantasy 14, the MMO, the new MMO from Final Fantasy series, comes out this month for the PS3 and the PC. Dead Rising 2, which we spent some time talking about during the Game Bank segment, comes out this month, as does FIFA 11 and Hawks 2, and then one called Dead Space Ignition, which I didn't know anything about until I went to research what else is coming out this month. It looks like a download for the 360 and the PS3 is a prequel to Dead Space 2.
Kind of like the Subject Zero?
Yeah, yeah. It just see, except for it's way, way further in advance because Dead Space 2 doesn't come out until January of next year.
Yeah.
So, Farva, out of all of those, which one stands out to you as for the rest of the month, the most interesting game coming out this month?
Well, you can see looking at our show notes here what game I put down. Initially, I put down Deathspank: Thongs of Virtue. I love the original Deathspank. I'm looking forward to this one. But I'm really, the more I'm thinking about it, and this is gonna be a stretch, but I can't believe I'm saying this. It's actually gonna be FIFA 11.
Yeah.
And
that's
I'm
what
not,
I was gonna say.
Really? And the thing is, I'm not a soccer. I don't like sports games. I haven't played a soccer game in forever. But FIFA 10 was a game that Doc from Sarcastic Gamer loved. And he's definitely a gamer, but he doesn't have the time to invest in games all that often, and this was a game like at a time when he really wasn't gaming much at all that he was throwing himself into and making time for. And the rules of soccer are fairly simple and fairly easy to understand, but he said the complexity of the game was enough to really bring it around. And with this one coming out, I'm like, you know what? Looking at that, out of all of them, initially I saw Deathspank and just bang, that was my pick. But looking at it again, I'm like, if I was honestly going to sit down and be like, if I could only play one of these games for a week, I would pick FIFA.
Yeah. And you know what? You saved me the trouble because if during the week when FIFA released, if you did not choose that as your care package game, I was going to come down to Texas and shove it down your throat because I really, really, really want you to play this game. I mean, I really, really want you to play. And honestly, I didn't think you were going to pick that out of this list. And that was my whole angle for giving you this list was I was going to tell you that, man, you have got to try FIFA because here's the thing with FIFA and with I don't know about soccer games in general, but with FIFA, certainly, all the things that you hate about soccer, like how boring it is and how
hooligans.
Nothing really happens and how and the worst, the biggest one for me, the worst part about soccer is how all the players just – dive and flop around. It's all dramatics, you know. Oh,
and that guy that screams "goal," I can't stand him. He was funny all, 5 years ago.
All that shit that you hate, and especially that guy that flops around like that. You know, when guys just take a dive and look at the ref and throw their hands up, and make a big scene out of it when they barely got touched. None of that is a factor in the video games. It doesn't happen. You're playing the video game. The video sports games are idealized versions of those sports.
Yeah.
They are what a purist sports fan would want to see out of their sport. You know, 60-yard bombs in Madden, last-second 25-foot jump shots in NBA, you know, overtime saves by the goalie in NHL, and fucking straight-up soccer, like, that doesn't have all the theatrics of actual soccer. Because if you watch the World Cup, that's the one thing that just makes you hate the World Cup is all that theatric shit.
And all the other countries.
Yeah.
There's a lot of other countries there. I'm like, really?
And the fact that they're all better than we are at soccer. But FIFA takes all that stuff away. Soccer games take all that stuff away because you're in complete control of that environment. And there's no reason for the computer AI to flop around. They can't influence a computer ref, and neither can you. So, yeah, I'm glad you picked that one out. Another one that's intriguing to me is Civilization V. Have you seen any of the videos or screenshots for this one?
No, I've never played any of the Civ games. Uh-huh. Again, mostly they're on PC and because they're essentially like sim games.
Yeah,
and I'm not a sim fan at all. And like, there's actually when I was in Seattle. There was this really cute chick I was trying to hook up with on the side, Jamie. Actually, she's really looking forward to this. But unfortunately, you had to drop her off at the airport before I was able to like really make my move. Yeah.
Well, you'll get another crack at that, I think. Eventually. You'll get another shot someday.
For the record, for those of you who don't know, Jamie's his fiance. And she's like,
whoa!
What? Or girlfriend, you need it. Yo, seriously, you haven't asked her to marry you, have you?
Back that shit down.
I hope she doesn't listen to this. She's going to be like, really? What?
Yeah, she's right next to me.
Like every time you ask her out to dinner, hey, where are we going to eat? You want to go somewhere nice for dinner? She's going to be thinking, uh-oh, tonight's the night. That's hilarious. No, anyway, yeah, sorry about that. But, yeah, I know she was, like, big into this, and I was making fun of her because I'm like, it's not even a game. You don't even win. There's no score. How do you – it's not a game. It's just a thing. I mean, you could play in the sand and get as much like, ooh, look, I built something. Yay. I just – I don't understand games like The Sims and Civilization and things like that. You know, and the, like this I the only time I ever played a Sim game was when you could be like Sim Cities, and I would only build just enough to bring like a monster in to terrorize the town. And that was right. It.
It's not for everybody. It certainly isn't, but it looks like the best turn-based strategy game that there is out there so far. And you know, you can win in Civ. There are games, but it's more like a gigantic digitized board game that you play against a computer.
Okay.
It's not – there's not a singular campaign purpose to play this game, but you can play this game for years because you could play the campaign, the game against a computer in a different way and have different variants come through every single time. It's a game that, from an outsider's perspective like mine, holds some intrigue. And I like – I mean, I'll be playing – NHL or Halo or something on the TV, and she'll be playing Civ on the PC right next to me, and I'll steal a glance, you know, I'll take a look over because I'm interested in seeing what, because it looks gorgeous first. It looks beautiful, and it looks like a game that I could that could crack me into the turn-based strategy game if I could ever rip her away from it, but I don't know if that's going to happen. But so Farva's game is FIFA 11. Thank God Almighty. I really want you to try that one. My game for the rest of the month is Civ 5. I probably, well, I guess I will buy it because I already fucking did. I already pre-ordered it on Steam. But so, yeah, I guess I'll be playing it just so I can justify my own purchase. But, yeah, that's going to do it for On the Horizon. We're going to go on down into Fresh Catch. This is Fresh Catch for episode number 16 of the Game Lounge. And I've got a couple for you here, Farb. I normally got one on the show notes, and that's for our PC people. All week this week, LucasArts has been running their Steam sales. Like on Monday, it was Star Wars The Force Unleashed, the Ultimate Sith Edition for $7.50.
Oh, wow.
Score. Yeah. On Tuesday, it's Knights of the Old Republic on the PC.
Great game.
For $2.50.
Oh, score. That's just a great game.
But and every day this week, they've been running a separate thing. It's another promotion. All week, though, you can get the entire pack of Star Wars games for $50. And let me just run down the list, because there's a bunch of them. Okay, you ready?
I'm ready. Hey, Star Wars. Do it in one breath.
Okay. Battlefront 2, Star Wars Galaxy, the online one, Jedi Knight 2, Jedi Knight Dark Forces 2, Jedi Knight Jedi Academy, Jedi Knight Mysteries of the Sith, Republic Commando, Starfighter, The Clone Wars Republic Heroes, The Force Unleashed Ultimate Sith Edition, Dark Forces, Knights of the Old Republic, and Empire at War the Gold Pack.
You had to take a breath in there somewhere.
No, that wasn't hard. Anyway, okay, so if you bought these games all separately on Steam, they'd cost $160. It's $50 for the entire pack. Obviously, no one would ever buy all these games on their own. Mm-hmm. But $50 of that entire set, you know, you get games like the Force Unleashed Ultimate Sith Edition, which came out, you know, what, 2 months ago? Something like that?
Yeah.
You get Knights of the Old Republic. You get Galaxies, the complete online adventures, which just seems as kind of like a mayhem kind of, you know, whatever. Just go in there and fuck around if you want to. But you get Battlefront 2. Battlefront was really good. You get Republic Commando, and Republic Commando was a highly underrated game, I think. And Empire at War, the Gold Pack, which is a strategy game, a real-time strategy game in the vein of StarCraft, but with Star Wars units and Star Wars story to go with it. Kind of a cool game. Maybe not the best strategy game, but still interesting to get in that universe like that. And then Star Wars The Clone Wars Republic Heroes, a newer game of theirs, because it's based on the TV show that's it's airing right now. It's a fuck lot of Star Wars for $50, man. It's a lot of Star Wars. If you're a Star Wars fan, and maybe you haven't been into PC gaming, and I say this a lot about Steam, they have these deals they run on these packs that if you're new to PC gaming for whatever reason, this is a great place to get started, I think.
I mean, I would be all for it. My only problem is when I'm home, I have my Xbox and my PS3, my Wii, you know, that's what I play here. And at work, I don't have an internet access. I mean, if it was a way to, like, through Steam, download one game onto my hard drive, then play it, and then come back, turn that one in, kind of get a, you know what I mean, kind of get a new one. So uh-huh. Actually put it on my hard drive to play instead of kind of streaming it, I'd be all over it. But I can't do that, and so that's the only reason I don't use Steam.
Well, and I've got a deal for you, Farva.
All right,
if you're not a PC gamer, I actually got this idea when I turned on my Xbox today, and it's the easiest deal you could find if you had an Xbox. All you gotta do is turn the fucking thing on, because it's like the third panel over, and it says renew your gold subscription for $30. Did you see that one?
I did not, but I'm going to go do that as soon as we get done here.
And it's not like you gotta buy it from Dell. It's not like you gotta buy it from some place and enter some wacky code. They're offering it right on the desktop of your Xbox 360. You go in there, you renew it, and actually get some avatar award, like a Halo Reach helmet or something like that. But I know we've had these on the show before, and so it's weird that we're having it again. But we haven't had a $30 deal for Xbox Live since they've announced the price hike.
Yeah.
Now, it's going to start costing $60 a month if you let it run and you pay the full price like Farva usually does. But, you know, you can still find these deals, and it seems like they're kind of giving, okay, guys, last call, you know, last chance to renew for $30. You know, come and do it, because we're gonna hike this price on you right after this. So go do it. But that should be running all week. So if you
that's
turn your Xbox
deal.
On, yeah, I mean,
you got to give them that for them knowing that they're gonna jump up the price like that.
Yeah,
this is a really kind of a cool thing for them to be doing. Because essentially they're giving away money, because they know people are going to pay that extra $10. They know that. But they're giving people the opportunity to, here, save a little cash anyway. I really think that's, I don't want to say benevolent, but it's just a good thing for them to be doing.
Yeah, it's good karma on their part, I think. You know, they're doing the right thing here. And the other thing is they're doing the if you bought Halo Reach or what for whatever reason, Halo Reach has free online multiplayer this weekend. So even if you don't have a gold subscription, you can get in there and play with it and see what you're missing, I guess, and then buy it.
Seriously, I think that's who has a silver subscription?
A lot of people do, man. A
really?
A lot of people have silver subscriptions.
I have never met... I don't... Why?
A lot of people have Xboxes that aren't interested in playing it multiplayer.
That's strange to me.
Yeah, it is. It seems foreign and ridiculous to people like you and me. But there are people out there, just like there's the 80-20 people that aren't, you know, hardcore gamers that don't finish their games, that don't just straight don't have Xbox Live Gold. You know, they don't have capped out friends lists. You know, they're not part of gaming communities. So, you know, what's the point? They'll let it run out. But this, they'll go buy Halo Reach, they'll play it online for a week, and they'll get hooked, and they'll re-up. And it's great marketing, and it's a great idea for Microsoft to run this thing for $30 for a week right before they crank that price up. So get it while it's hot, man. Get it while you can. That's the fresh catch, and we're going to go on into Gamer 9 announcements.
Hey. All are invited to join in a talking chip game tonight.
All right, I finally get to start a segment. Woo! I want to talk about the Gamer Night announcements. First of all, I want to highlight what happened last week. We were doing a Modern Warfare 2 Gamer Night because you were doing Battlefield Bad Company. So I got on. Now, usually I'm at work, so I get off work and I go straight to my motel room, hook up to my shitty internet connection, and try and shoot you guys on a shitty little TV. This time, my wife and daughter were actually sick, so I did not go to work. And I was a little late getting online. I didn't get there till about 9:25, usually about 10 minutes late. I got there. Jitterbug was there. Firetruck, Shelby Shaw. I think a couple other people were there. We gamed about maybe two, maybe up to four games. Played for a little while. I was like, okay, my daughter woke up. She wasn't feeling good. She wanted a waffle. And because I love my daughter, I got up. I'm like, all right, guys, I'll be back in a minute. I got to go make a waffle. I was gone for maybe 45 seconds. I came, sat back down, and Shavi Shaw was the only one left. I was like, what happened? He's like, I don't know. I heard something about a waffle, and everyone disappeared. And so I don't know what happened, but everyone was gone. Shavi. So I played with him for a little bit, and then I had to get off. And, my daughter wasn't feeling good, so I cuddled with her. We watched some Blue's Clues. She finally went to sleep. And actually, about an hour and a half later, I got back online, and BSAA Vinny from Sarcastic Gamer and No Painsasaurus were online. And so the three of us played, and we actually played some Hardcore Search and Destroy. Now, I didn't realize this. When you're playing Hardcore Search and Destroy, when you get killed, you can talk to the other people on anyone who's dead, even if they're on the other team. So I suck at it. A lot of the people on my team would suck at it. We generally get like one stranger come in who is just awesome. And so I jump all over that guy's nuts and be like, he's amazing, yada, yada, yada. And No Pain's like, dude, I'm doing good. Don't you think I'm doing good? I'm like, you're okay. Even though he was leading our team constantly. And I don't know how many different times like we would all get killed, all of us except for No Pain, like right from the get-go. So it's like him on like five or him on six. And I'm like, man, look at him go. He's really fucking doing good. He's really doing great. Yada, yada, like really talking him up. And as soon as he died, I'm like, there he goes, constantly fucking it up. I knew he couldn't do it. I knew there was nothing there. And he was getting so frustrated because I wouldn't acknowledge how good he was doing. And I was totally doing that, but not when he was around to hear it. So it was a lot of fun picking on him. Yeah. And so at the end of the night, so we played for actually about 2 hours. That was a long stretch for the three of us. So it was a good time. So Saturday, what'd you do with yours?
Oh, it was a total fucking disaster, man. I got in, the intent was to play Battlefield Bad Company 2, and for God's sakes, if we have one more disastrous Saturday gamer night, we'll be figuring something else out. We're going to give it one more shot here, and I don't know what it is, man. I just can't get people to play video games on Saturdays. Other shit's going on. You know, it's the weekend, and people aren't feeling like playing video games. And, you know, Bad Movie Drinky Drinky is usually a hit on Saturday nights, but that's Saturday nights. Because we're not playing Saturday nights, we're playing Saturday days leading up to Bad Movie Drinky Drinky. It's always tough to get people to commit to their Xboxes or their PlayStations for a matter of 4 to 5 hours at a time if you're going to talk about a gamer night leading into a Bad Movie Drinky Drinky.
Yeah.
But in any case, we tried to play Battlefield Bad Company, and I'm blaming this on our boy Colby, because when we tried to connect to his game because he couldn't connect to any of ours, it completely froze my Xbox and knocked me off of Xbox Live. And I couldn't get back on for the next 20 minutes. And like you, when I got back on, there was nobody left. We played a game, I think, of Battlefield Bad Company before Colby showed up and wrecked the entire thing.
Way to go, Colby.
That's our boy. But, whatever. It wasn't that big of an event to begin with, but, we had some fun there, but the real fun was had, as generally is the case, at Bad Movie Drinky Drinky. And for this Bad Movie Drinky Drinky, we did not watch a bad movie. We watched The Warriors, which was a good movie as it was. It turned out to be you didn't like it?
I it's not a movie I would watch again. I'd never seen it.
Really?
It's not a movie I would watch again unless I was hammered. But it was a great movie to drink to.
Are you kidding me? There's There's not many movies out there that cover this kind of genre. I don't know of one that covers this kind of a genre.
Double Dragon, dude.
Double Dragon. Come at me with fucking Double
Dragon.
Lots of little
fucked up looking gangs. Double Dragon.
Are you kidding me? Double Dragon, you're going to come at me with?
That's
a better
good.
Movie than The Warriors?
So good.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Little Scott Baio or whatever. Scott Wolf. Yeah. Double Dragon, dude.
Okay. So there's two movies in this genre. The Warriors and Double Dragon. And, you know, I don't know. Go over to Rotten Tomatoes and see which one scores a little higher. But I liked it. I thought it was really good. And I can see myself watching this movie again. I thought it was interesting. I thought you know, it was very, very 70s. There was the 70s cliches there. So first of all, neither Farva nor I, nor it seemed like almost everybody in the bad movie Drinky Drinky had seen The Warriors. And that fact alone seemed to just blow Jitterbug away.
Yeah. Can you dig it?
Yeah. I liked it. I thought it was a good movie, and I could see myself watching it again. I guess Farva doesn't agree, but I enjoyed it. For me, it wasn't a bad movie. I think our performance in moderating the bad movie Drinking G might have been a little bit poor, Farva, because I think the rule was anytime there's 70s jive spoken.
Drink.
We were to drink, and that shit was happening the entire movie, and I think we might have called it out like twice.
I was hammered.
It is.
I really was. I was drunk. Like, I would say, I was honestly drunk before they got done fighting the orphans.
I don't care, Farva. It is our responsibility as crew members of the ship to call out during bad movie Drinky Drinky when there is a time to drink. Well, that is our sole responsibility.
To be fair, I did call out drink for the attempted rape of the cop from Dexter's Dad.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Speaking of, I remember where that saw that chick from. Do you remember that old, like, when they were doing like a whole slew of baseball movies for a while, and it's about that kid who ended up like his grandfather died and left him like the Red Sox or whatever, and he became the manager. He was like a 10-year-old manager of the team. Some shitty little movie from the early 90s. That chick was his mom. That's where I've seen it from.
Wow.
Yeah. I figured it out like a half hour after we got offline.
Wow. You really dug into the archives for that one, Farva.
I was looking at her. I'm like, seriously, someone's raping somebody's mom right now. Like, I know I've seen her from somewhere. And I couldn't figure out from where, and it was pissing me off.
Yeah, so that was bad movie Drinky Drinky. So that's sort of it for the recaps. But what have you got on the schedule for this week for the gamer night this week, Farva?
You know what? I think I'm going to go Halo Reach. Okay. I hate the Halo multiplayer. I'm not a Halo guy, but I already had a couple people saw me online playing it and like, hey, is this what we're going to do Thursday? And I'm like, sure, yeah, this is what we'll do. So I already know we've got like 3 or 4 people already agreeing all to show up. Jitterbug's going to be there. Shabby's going to be there. You're probably going to be there. I'm going to be there. I think someone else sent me a message saying that they'd be there just from seeing me playing it online. So Halo Reach was in demand, so that's what it will be.
Yeah, I'm with you too. On Saturday, I'm going to be doing a Halo Reach Gamer Night too. I mean, what else could it be? We're going to be doing a Gamer Night Halo Reach. It's going to be early. This time around, it's going to be 4:00 p.m. talking ship time, so it's not going to lead directly into bad movie drinking. I'm going to try and do something a little bit different this time, like allow people to eat dinner. I think
that's
probably
smart.
Important.
That's cool. Yeah.
So 4:00 talking ship time, could be 5, 6, wherever you're at. We're going to be doing this thing. We're going to be playing Halo Reach. It's going to be 3:00 for me.
And mine's still going to be at 9:15. Talking ship time, which is Mountain Standard time. So
right.
It's 10:15 my time.
And then, of course, as always, at 9:00 p.m. talking ship time, we're going to be doing the bad movie drinking on Saturday. Farva, are you going to be there?
I will be there. Although, I was thinking we should start picking a movie ahead of time.
Okay.
And say, because, you know, it's like, hey, people show up and be like, this is going to be our movie. It doesn't always have to be a bad movie, But we should come. We should start doing that. Picking a movie and being like, "This is our bad movie, drinky drinky for this time." So come on out, help come up with the rules, that kind of thing. But instead of just throwing it out there and spending 20 to 30 minutes, all of us trying to find a movie and arguing over a movie, we just kind of, this is going to be our movie.
How about this? How about we? How about we make that a movie for bad movie, drinky drinky? Because usually, and I don't know, I guess sometimes, usually it was a pretty regular occurrence that we watch two. That we would watch a movie and then maybe follow up with another movie. What do you think about us selecting a movie ahead of time for one of those movies? Maybe the late movie. And that way we're all kind of sauced up from the first one, and we can really enjoy that second one.
Honestly, I feel like my daughter, when she's been throwing a temper tantrum and I'm like just trying to patronize her, to be like, "Oh, shit, it'll be okay, honey. Just relax. Seriously, I can get you another orange. I can get you another orange. Just let me peel it. It'll be fine."
The reason being, Farva, is that I think an integral part of the bad movie drinky drinky experience is the standing there in the Netflix queue
talking
with each other, arguing
the pros and cons of this zombie movie versus that zombie movie.
Yeah, and then when one knocks it out of the park, it's like, yeah, we got it right. And then when we're wrong about something, it's like, shit, we should have gone with the other one. I think that's part of the experience.
That is true.
So, you know, I certainly don't – you know, we had a Lebowski night. That was ahead of time.
That was amazing.
I don't think that it's a bad idea to have these kinds of nights. And maybe we'll try it in the future where we have one as the early movie, and then we go into our crazy selection process for the late movie, maybe the other way around. But I think the core bad movie drinking drinking experience includes us arguing with each other over what movie we're going to watch. I think that helps to define the bad movie drinking drinking experience.
All right, well, I'll shut the fuck up then.
Some mutiny you have.
I know. Speaking of, I do want to give Jitterbug a huge shout out for coming out and gaming with us. He gamed Saturday night after the bad movie Drinky Drinky for a while. A bunch of us hang out, and it was a good time. I think we still had like a group of like four or five. We ended up having like a full party for a long time. Mutton Chop got online and joined us, and so it really was a lot of fun. And so I want to take back the whole mutiny against Jitterbug thing.
Oh.
Because he wasn't showing up at all. Nerves was making the attempts. And since Nerves basically stood us up for the last 2 weeks, I say we kick him off the ship.
Oh, shit.
Okay. Mutiny against the Nerves.
The script is flipped.
That's right. So we love the Jitterbug. The game lounge is all behind the Jitterbug. The Nerves has to go.
Wow.
I think send him to the brig.
Send him to the brig. All right, so that's going to do it for gaming announcements. I just have a real quick shout-out for all of our new subscribers. We've been on the uptick lately. I think it might have been our past coverage. I think it might have been some of our YouTube videos. I think a large part of it, Farva, has to do with your ass shake and dance during Connect.
I was dead sexy. I mean, for a fat boy, I did that little move with the twisty thing. Oh yeah!
I talked to our boys over at Sarcastic Gamer, and you know what they said was that make sure you have the name of your organization or whatever on the front of every one of your videos, and it's worked out pretty well for us, man. It's worked out pretty well for us. We've got a lot of new subscribers, I want to shout you guys out. Thanks for subscribing, guys. If you get a minute, go on over to iTunes, leave us a review. We'd love to hear from a fresh perspective, because we haven't gotten a new one for a little while here, from our new subscribers. And just kind of what you guys think, what you guys like, what you guys don't like about the show. Leave us 5 stars, 4 stars, 1 star, whatever the hell you feel. And let us know what you think and what we can improve about the show for you guys, because that's really what we're doing. We want to make this a good show for you guys. Farva, do you have any shout outs for us tonight?
Yeah. No, I don't. I'm sorry. I was trying to come up with, I don't have one at all.
All right. Well, there you go. So that's going to do it for Game Lounge episode number 16. Thanks for coming out, guys. Like I said, I'm going to get on some NHL 09. I'm going to pop that tray and get Halo Reach out of there and put an NHL 11. and play a few more of my campaign. Farva, are you gonna get back on Reach a little bit?
I am. I'm gonna go ahead and try and I won't finish it up tonight because if my wife comes out and sees I've been playing video games, she'll shoot me. But I'm gonna put in another hour or two at least. So
nice. All right. Well, the bottom line here is that we're gonna get in and play some video games. So that means you guys gotta get out of our game lounge.
Hey guys, thanks for showing up. Get the fuck out.